Good morning, and welcome to the Kentuckiana Weekend Review. I'm Tim England reporting on the events that made this week's news. On Monday, there were many parents concerned about a missing Boy Scout troop. On Friday, April 20th, a group of 22 boys and three adults had left for a weekend hike along the Rock Castle River in London, Kentucky. They were due back on Sunday night, but the scouts from Harvey Brown Memorial Church didn't show. Monday morning, there was action, as Richard Aviero of the church explains.
Right now, there are a team of rangers just trying to pinpoint where they are on the trail just to make contact. They could be considered search parties.
Around 3 o'clock that afternoon, there was good news. The Boy Scouts had been found. Forest Ranger helicopters had spotted the hikers, and this is a London police dispatcher with the report.
They are in the Daniel Boone National Forest on Sinking Creek. They have been spotted by a helicopter belonging to the Forestry Service. They appear to be just fine. They have set up a base camp, and we have a search party headed to them on foot at this time, and we are hoping to have them out by dark.
Apparently, the hikers had taken a wrong turn somewhere over the weekend. The weekend had also caused some problems for residents of the Arctic Springs area of Jeffersonville, Indiana, as a chlorine leak had forced the evacuation of several and the hospitalization of 20. The leak was blamed on a faulty lead gasket at a pumping station operated by Indiana City's Water Corporation. Their district manager, David Eblesisser, said inspectors were trying to find out why the gasket had malfunctioned.
We haven't determined why, unless it was a defective gasket. But everything is back in operating procedures. Well, the building was built in 1945, and I guess this is the first time it's ever happened.
Although area residents could still smell chlorine on Monday, many returned home. Three of the 20 people originally hospitalized were still there, but in satisfactory condition. On Monday, it was reported that Gasohol was selling well in its first week on the market, actually better than expected. The mixture of gasoline and alcohol was being sold in Bowling Green, Lexington, and in Louisville. The Gasohol distributor, Sammy Wooten, with Louisville's Key Oil Company, said initial sales were good.
The sales are going real good. I'd say 10,000 gallon a week. It's a lot better than we expected it to be. I think the people want to try it. That's the main thing, I think, right now.
In this report by Woody Stiles, we learned that Kentucky is growing, but Louisville is shrinking. Now, what is this?
Kentucky's population is growing larger and getting older, reversing the trends of a decade ago. That's according to a study by the University of Louisville's Urban Studies Center. Population specialist Dr. James Brockway tells KLO there are a couple of reasons for that increase.
It has occurred primarily because of both the increase in natural increase, that is, births exceeding the number of deaths. Even though we've had a relatively low fertility rate, there has been larger numbers of persons entering the child-rearing years. We've also had a turnaround in our net migration pattern.
Brockway says the state's population increased 7.4% between 1970 and 1977. On the other hand, Brockway says the growth rate here in the city of Louisville is dropping.
Many of the central cities of the metropolitan areas have declined in population because of the movement to the non-metropolitan areas. Initially, the movement between 60 and 70 was to the suburbs, and now the movement has tended to be farther out.
Brockway says it is possible the trend might reverse itself in the future, and people might start moving back to the city. Woody Stiles, KLO News.
This week's weather was playing havoc for residents in the Brookshire Terrace subdivision in southern Jefferson County. Mudslides were threatening several homes there, and some were being asked to move. This is David Daughtry of the County Works Department.
It's impossible to predict the degree of further slippage, but rainfall can only adversely affect it. That's a situation where rainfall intrusion into the substrata is aggravating the slippage. So it's directly proportional to the amount of rainfall that we have.
More rain was in the forecast, and of course that was bad news for those homes in Brookshire Terrace. On Monday, about six homes were immediately affected by those mudslides. Angie Murray had a report for us on Monday concerning X-ray technicians at Louisville's General Hospital. They weren't in the mood for working.
X-ray technicians at Louisville's General Hospital may stay off the job again this Tuesday. That's according to the head of the hospital's radiology department, Dr. Gary Peterson. Technicians have been off work since Saturday to protest dissatisfaction over contract talks currently underway. Hospital officials have been continually meeting with the technicians in an effort to get them back to work. The X-ray personnel are said to be seeking increased salaries and improved working conditions. For KLO News, this is Angie Murray.
An April Fool's joke was turning into no laughing matter for Tom Murray. Murray was fired as the editor of the University of Louisville student newspaper called The Cardinal. University officials didn't like the April 1st edition because they believe it broke the school's journalism ethics. However, Murray looked at it in a different vein and planned to go to court to get himself reinstated as the newspaper's chief. On Monday, his attorney Dan Taylor told us that the firing of Murray violated the Constitution's guarantee of press freedom.
It's incredible to me that an institution of higher learning doesn't understand the basic constitutional law more clearly than apparently the University of Louisville does in regard to this particular matter. And I will press Murray's rights, you know, in the courts.
Ex-editor Murray was fired by the university officials for failing to apologize about the whole affair. On Tuesday, there were developments in the Tom Murray case. A Freedom of the Press lawsuit was filed in federal court to get his job back with the Cardinal. Murray's lawyer, Dan Taylor, said the suit was actually on behalf of the entire student body.
You see, what you're running into there is the constitutional right of the editor and the rights also of the general reading public. The First Amendment contemplates reciprocal rights. Not only is there a First Amendment right in Murray and Floyd, there's a right, First Amendment right in the general student body at the University of Louisville.
Taylor said the entire question of exactly who publishes the newspaper may be at stake. The judge's decision is expected to have far-reaching implications for all the student newspapers around the country. That dispute between the X-ray technicians and officials of Louisville's General Hospital seems to have been resolved as of Tuesday. Final details were being worked out on the agreement, and the X-ray technicians returned to work. A fuel tank that had ruptured on one of the L&N lines looked like it was going to cause problems for people living just east of St. Matthews near Washburn Avenue on Tuesday. The area had been flooded by 5,000 gallons of diesel fuel, and L&N had contracted a company to clean up the mess.
And what they and our environmental team here have done is to build dams along these drainage ditches on either side of the tracks to collect the oil when it rains.
That's Charles Kastner of L&N. The purpose of the dams would be to contain any further spillage that might occur. 1,400 workers at Ford Motors passenger car plant had plenty to worry about after it was announced by Hayes Holmes that they would be laying off workers in the Louisville area.
Second passenger car shift at Ford Motor Company's Louisville assembly plant will be discontinued effective May 14. The UAW was informed late yesterday that the action will result in the indefinite layoff of about 1,400 hourly employees.
The reason given was the surplus of automobiles and the oil situation.
Due to the excessive inventories of the LTD passenger car and the as a result of the Iranian oil crisis, and in a shift in customer demand for smaller cars, our levels of production exceed what we anticipated the levels of sales to be.
Hayes did have some good news for the workers. They would receive about 95% of their pay during the layoff, and Ford hoped to have them back on the truck assembly payroll by next year. On Tuesday, we reported the plight of Kentucky's distillers. This state is known worldwide for its fast horses and fine bourbon. Just around the corner is the Kentucky Derby to prove once again our excellence in horses, but what's happening to our bourbon? Kentucky's distillers said the tax on whiskey is forcing many of them out of the state. The president of the Kentucky Distillers Association, Frank Daly, said the state tax discriminates against bourbon makers.
And all other industries in the state are exempt from local taxes on goods in process of manufacture. And this is costing the industry several $1 million a year. And with all the competition we have from other products, this gets to be a real problem.
The president of Maker's Mark Distillery, Bill Samuels, told us that something better be done quickly.
I think the handwriting's on the wall. The industry has been moving out of Kentucky for a number of years. And the figures that I see shows that there's only 50% of the whiskey stored in Kentucky now that we had in 1971. there'll always be whiskey made, but if we don't react to the situation, very little of it will be made here at home.
Some of the state's distillers were said to be moving to Indiana, and for a very good reason. The taxes there are a fraction of what bourbon makers have to pay here in Kentucky. On Tuesday, Louisville was graced by the presence of Mrs. Lillian Carter, who was in town to speak at the governor's conference for volunteerism. She had several things to talk about, but we noted with interest what she had to say about her sons, Billy and Jimmy. Billy Carter had just been released from an alcohol abuse center, and she had this to say.
He feels wonderful. Said it feels strange because he's drinking water with nothing in it, you know, those things. And but he really feels good, and he's real happy that he went there. And he says everything good, man. We're all so happy about him.
And about Jimmy, why, he had a new hairstyle.
Well, he, you know, when he has it cut, they tell him how to do it. He didn't have much to do with it. I don't know why he did it. Maybe that he was getting bald, or maybe that it was gray on one side. But he said, well, I've had it this way for several days.
And here's a story right out of the Old West. On Tuesday morning, Louisville practically had a stampede on her hands. City police turned cowboys after a cattle truck flipped over on Story Avenue. The accident happened in front of John Ettinger's store. He described what happened.
The gentleman flipped his cattle truck as he went on to Johnson, coming off Story, and his cattle fell out, of course. We sort of herded him back into our truck lot. He went back in there in the trucks, and people were just, well, they're shutting gates behind him, trying to keep him pinned up.
Ettinger says his dogs at the store made the cattle roundup more complicated.
They got back in close to our guard dogs, and that caused a little excitement. It was kind of fun.
All's well that ends well. The cattle were gathered up and sent to market, and the driver of the cattle truck, though slightly injured, would be all right. And finally, from Tuesday, we have this report from Janice Owens concerning an expansion of the county treatment center.
In an effort to reduce the population of the Jefferson County Jail and save the county around $487,000 a year, Richard Fry, Metropolitan Correctional Chief, announced a plan that would expand the community treatment center. Under Fry's proposed plan, the community treatment center could house about 150 inmates that could go out into the community and work because they pose no threat to the community. The center would be located in the old St. John's School building, located in the 700 block of Muhammad Ali Boulevard, and will cost the county around $150,000 to renovate. But according to Fry, the initial cost would be well worth the savings in the long run to the county. Fiscal court will vote upon the proposal at Thursday's session. For KLO News, I'm Janice Owens.
The strike by dissident Teamster steel haulers was hitting Louisville on Wednesday. General Electric had told us that they had shut down some production and temporarily laid off workers. The GE personnel department said upwards of 400 employees would be affected by the cutbacks, which began on Monday. A decision on their return to work was being made on a daily basis. GE employs 20,000 workers. And Louisville economy watchers had plenty to ponder after Tuesday's Ford announcement to lay off 1,400 factory workers. The local Chamber of Commerce researcher Jim Habegus said the layoffs did not spell doom for Louisville's economy. Thank goodness.
Our business index indicates that our economy is sound here in our Louisville area. Production is up. Everything is on a go basis, with construction coming into the local area now, the heavy construction, especially like as Governor Carroll announced yesterday with the Jefferson Freeway, that puts a lot of people back on the payrolls.
And University of Louisville economist Dr. John Mead appeared to agree. He said because Louisville makes a lot of different things, it'd be better off than other cities.
But a lot of our other products, like cigarettes and alcoholic beverages, have what we call an inelastic demand, and people will take them and use them regardless of what the state of the economy is.
Dr. Mead does say it looks like the nation is headed for a recession, but he says if it comes, Louisville is one of the better places to be. Downtown Louisville received an okay for some renovation. The move was approved by the Board of Aldermen, and Janice Owens had the report.
Development of Louisville's multi-million-dollar Galleria shall certainly become reality. The project was put to a vote at Tuesday night's Board of Aldermen meeting and came out smelling like a rose, except for some concern as to what it would do to several historic buildings. But Aldermatic President David Banks says it'll be great for business.
Well, the city is often involved in attracting industry and business through bonds, through we've been involved through tax incentives. I think that's a legitimate function of city government because it's good for everybody if we have a healthy business climate.
But what about our environment? Here we have the mayor saying he wants to reduce air pollution, while on the other hand, the Galleria project is supposed to include a 1,200-car parking garage. What does Mr. Banks have to say about that, bringing so many more cars downtown?
The project has the approval of the air pollution people, and I think that's remarkable that a project that will bring people downtown, and that will be somewhat of a problem, but they've tried to do it in a way that will minimize that problem.
That's Automatic President David Banks. For KLO News, I'm Janice Owens.
As reported on Wednesday, the city's Consumer Affairs Department is concerned with high grocery prices in this area, and to show their concern, the department is calling for a price alert for all consumers. Susan Westfall, a spokesman for the department, said consumers are going to have to keep a watchful eye for large price increases.
We felt that if we instituted sort of a price watch, where through our own established complaint process, people could call us and say, I noticed that aspirin went up 30 cents from last week. I'm disturbed about that, or isn't that a lot for a price to jump within 1 week? We could take those complaints in writing and forward them on to the appropriate people at the national level.
Westfall said consumers should be on the lookout for large price increases from week to week. She said the program should get underway in about 2 weeks. The gasoline pinch was being felt in the Jefferson County Police Department. On Wednesday, County Police Chief Edgar Helm told us the department was receiving a 10% reduction in their allocation, but Helm said supplies wouldn't be cut off for long.
Requesting in writing of our vendors the exemption now, based on the type of work we do. Now, whether they'll consider that, I don't know.
Helm also said the decrease wouldn't have an impact on the operation of the police department. WKLOW-CSN had this report on Wednesday when Governor Carroll announced plans to complete the Jefferson Freeway. If all goes well, a three-mile stretch of the freeway should connect I-65 with Preston Highway by 1982. Later, another section of the Jefferson Freeway will be constructed east from Dixie Highway to the L&N Railroad tracks. The governor said Kentucky has about $145 million set aside for total completion of the freeway. There was a book banning controversy at the University of Kentucky, as we reported on Wednesday. A number of books were outlawed by the head of the University of Kentucky's English department following a parent's complaint. The parent was upset over a book containing sexual references being used by teacher Betty Gooch. Mrs. Gooch told KLO News on Wednesday the banning amounts to censorship.
Find something like that in any piece of literature, in the Bible even, you know, if you want to look hard enough, you know, that may be sexually reprehensible or threatening to a person's values in some way.
The banning arose out of the Henry Miller book Black Spring. Other books outlawed included Dracula by Bram Stoker and Light in August by William Faulkner. More controversy as Angie Murray filed this report on Wednesday.
A Ku Klux Klan speaker has been denied the use of a local public building, and that may send the anti-busing group sponsoring the speech to court. The Kentucky Civil Liberties Union says the denial may violate constitutional rights. So says the union's executive director, Jessica Schickler.
The Kentucky Civil Liberties Union interest in this case is the First Amendment aspect, the freedom of speech. And at this point, all we're doing is looking into it and seeing what the situation is.
The man who said no to the Klan speech was City County Parks Director Robert Kirchdorfer.
The Klan has asked to use one of our recreation facilities, and I've denied them. They have requested to go before fiscal court tomorrow to get an executive decision, so that will be up to fiscal court to make that final decision, whether they can or cannot meet at that facility.
The Klan speech is being sponsored by an anti-busing group here in Jefferson County, the Valley Regulars. For KLO News, this is Angie Murray.
And as of Wednesday, Kentucky legislators have pre-filed a resolution for the 1980 session of the General Assembly, calling for a constitutional convention to require a balanced budget. Gary Luer of the Legislative Research Commission told us the proposal has already been introduced in other states, and the concern for a balanced federal budget was growing across the nation.
Well, there seems to be a lot of concern that in Washington, unlike Kentucky, where we're required to have a balanced budget each year, Congress can appropriate more money than they take in through taxes and other forms of revenue, and the national debt continues to grow. prohibited except in cases of national emergency, war, and so forth.
21 other states have adopted a resolution calling for a constitutional convention. However, the approval of 34 states is needed. And on Wednesday, we had the report that even the Rotans of Jefferson County get Derby fever. Local rats gave it their all at the 7th annual running of the Rotans, sponsored by Spalding College. The winner of the day's big race, the running for the roses, was Longshot Rosalind. Trainer Jerry Prince says for a time, it looked like a rat named Peace would be the winner.
It was a close race because Peace came out and stopped at the finish line and just stopped, completely stopped. And Rosalind comes along, jumps over, and she wins.
Prince said Rosalind had a distinctive running style.
When she's running, she's fine. She gets out of the starting gate just fine. But halfway down the track, she'll stop and try to climb over the side and hang by her back feet and see who else is outside the track.
According to Prince, the day's winning rats would receive special recognition.
For the winning male and the winning female, they won a trophy cup that was filled with Fruit Loops. And I use Fruit Loops because that's the only food that all of them eat. And the other prize is that they get to keep their life and they're saved from the biology dissecting class that starts in the fall. And they will be used to breed next year's rats.
Prince said Rosalind was his favorite all along, even though the morning line had her as a dark rat entry. It was reported Wednesday night a man was seriously injured in a tractor-trailer accident on the curve connecting I-64 and I-71 to southbound I-65 in Spaghetti Junction. It's the latest in a series, a long series at that, of accidents on Dead Man's Curve. But despite that, the state says adequate warning is given motorists approaching the area. That's according to traffic engineer Bill Monholland with the State Highway Department.
We have a series of about eight signs or eight warning devices down there now, which seems like that would be about all that we could do short of a total reconstruction, and I think that probably the cost of such an undertaking would be prohibitive.
Monholland points out that most of the accidents at that Spaghetti Junction curve have involved speeding tractor-trailer trucks. The weather hadn't improved by Thursday, and the situation was reported serious.
Well, I can't describe it in words. You really have to see it to appreciate how serious a matter it is.
That's Charles Horton, a county commissioner. In Louisville's Brookshire Terrace subdivision, mudslides were threatening homes. At least three families had already fled their homes because of the sinking. Two more were threatened, and the County Works Department was monitoring the area daily, trying to contain the spillage. County commissioners inspected the scene Thursday. Commissioner Charles Horton had more to say.
Homes on the top of the hill, the back portions of them, the patios and there are decks going up to the second levels, are actually hanging out over the concrete in the patios, is hanging over dirt that has collapsed underneath it.
Horton says he's going to try to get approval for financial assistance for local homeowners.
Certainly, I'd be willing to help any way that county government can help, and we have to wait on some recommendations from our works department people as to what needs to be done and what county government can do within its legal resources.
The county apparently had changed its mind about late drinking during Derby Week. The resolution that passed a couple of weeks ago extending the drinking hours from 2 a.m. until 4 a.m. in the county was rescinded on Thursday. That action came on the advice of County Attorney Bruce Miller, who says the resolution extending the hours is not legal, and that decision by the court concerns Judge McConnell.
I'm concerned about the effect of this on the restaurant business outside the city limits, and I'm sure that they will be concerned about it, and I hope that we'll be able to deal with it next year by ordinance.
In other action on Thursday, fiscal court cleared the way for construction to begin on a shopping center, English Station, to be located on Shelbyville Road, and the go-ahead sign was given for the county to purchase the old St. John School building and renovate the building to expand the community treatment center. As reported Thursday, two Jefferson County Commissioners, Earl Hartledge and Charles Horton, are backing collective bargaining for county employees. Commissioner Horton emphasized that he supports the bargaining concept.
After having served 15 months in county government, I can see the need for county governments to have a vehicle to be able to express their concerns, air their grievances, and have a mechanism to do so.
Commissioner Horton tells us that he's not ready to introduce a bargaining resolution yet.
I've not made any indication when I would be prepared to introduce a collective bargaining resolution. I've not made any commitments in that regard.
And again, it's County Judge Mitch McConnell on the other side of the issue, saying he's opposed to collective bargaining.
I think it's going to cost the county an enormous amount of money, and I hope that those who are considering supporting a collective bargaining ordinance are also prepared to deal with the fact that it's probably going to force them to call for higher taxes to pay for the exorbitant wage demands that inevitably result from collective bargaining process for public employees. In addition to that, there isn't a municipality or county in the country that has collective bargaining for public employees where there haven't been strikes and work stoppages, and I think the people in Jefferson County are not interested in having their public employees out on strike.
McConnell says there's also a legal question whether the county can grant bargaining rights. The Civil Liberties Union stepped into a local case this week. Janice Owens had this report on Thursday.
James Kennedy, the head of an anti-busing group, the Valley Regulars, told KLO News he was advised not to appear at Thursday's session of fiscal court. Kennedy says the advice came from the Kentucky Civil Liberties Union. Kennedy also says the union has accepted the case because of possible constitutional violations.
It's to the point where you live in a community and can't use community buildings, and I think it's time to stand there and take a stand on that. Made me so mad I could have... There's no other way I can put it. It just made me mad that they would try to turn down. I mean, people seem to forget the Constitution.
He says he hopes the problem over the use of the public building can be settled out of court.
I'm not trying to be smart. I just think it's a principle involved here, and I think it should be pushed, because when you start letting people say no to too many things, first thing you know, you don't have freedom of speech, freedom of anything anymore. They'll take it all away from you.
At issue is the use of a public building for a Klan speech being sponsored by Kennedy's anti-busing group, the Valley Regulars. For KLO News, I'm Janice Owens.
With Fridays they're off lunch in, the Derby festivities have begun. KLO's Woody Stiles was there and filed this report.
It's the year's first glimmer of what the Kentucky Derby is really all about. The official starter of that colorful spirit which separates the Derby from just another horse race. They all showed up, perhaps a couple of thousand people, governmental officials, models, the socially elite and not so elite, all colorfully dressed in their Derby best. Now, of course, with Derby Week comes international celebrities. I'm sure we'll see a lot more as Derby Week goes on, but if you're present for the luncheon, you might rub elbows with such people as Phyllis George, Colonel Sanders, the three transatlantic balloonists, and perhaps many others lost from us somewhere in the crowd. Woody Stiles, among the many, at the first official function of this year's Kentucky Derby Week.
Yes, the Kentucky Derby Week was on. The Derby Festival Queen was crowned that night. The Knights of Pegasus were announced, and whole event was the Derby Ball. And tickets were selling like $35 each, and it was by reservation only. Fake Kentucky Derby tickets were showing up. You better watch out if you get a hold of them. Counterfeiters sold some of the bogus tickets to a woman in Detroit who operates a ticket service, and this is Sergeant Bill Boggs.
The gentleman that allegedly sold these tickets to the woman for sale at the ticket outlet there in Plymouth produced a suitcase and that was full that she seen, and allegedly they had the suitcase nearly full.
Sergeant Boggs with the Louisville Police Department's Fraud Division gave us a description of the tickets.
The counterfeit tickets are described as being bad in quality. They're the wrong color and the wrong size. The counterfeits are actually described as 1 3/4 inches by 5 1/4 inches approximately. They're a heavy gauge, smooth paper, white color with black printing only.
The real tickets are multicolored and nearly twice the size of the fake ones. This has been the Kentuckiana Week in Review. I'm Tim England for WKLO WCSN.